Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens. Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
And I'm John Mitchell. So here's our topic today. Define the three-year vision for your business and then the five other components of your business. And that's essentially how it's set up on our Life GPS template. But Kelly, sort of where this has come from is I was thinking about I've been thinking about your journey in the employment business. I was thinking about yours and my journey in the success business and how in the methodology we have you project where you want to be 3 years from now. Mm-hmm. And so just to give everybody a little more perspective, so there's really six things you're defining: your business plan, your strategy for success, the two or three things that move the needle, where you want your business to be 3 years from now, the four or five milestones to get there, and then the linchpin issue to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. Well, in those six, the foundation to me is figuring out where you want your business to be 3 years from now, and then seeing the milestones to get there, the four or five milestones to get there, because that essentially gives you the path that you're going to follow and it will guide your quarterly career goals. Does that all make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I've been thinking about in our case, in going down the path of in the success business. And so I started this 12 or 13 years ago. And I remember for the first 4 years, I didn't know how to bring it to the world. I remember working with a very big think tank here in Austin that I could, because I knew I had to make it work on other people. And so I knew the president of the think tank, who, by the way, now is the Secretary of Agriculture, but very sharp lady. And so I knew I had to make it work on other people. So that took a couple of years. And then I'm like, well, okay, how am I going to bring this to the world? And I wasn't sure about that. And I ended up joining this mastermind called Genius Network, because I figured if I join it, I would figure it out. And I also knew I really wanted a partner. And so I do Genius Network, and that takes 2 years. And I talked to someone that potentially would have been a partner. And then you fortunately came into my life and you were the perfect partner. And so off we go. And, you know, so that was the first 6 years of it. And, you know, now I have the perspective that one of the mistakes that you and I don't know if it was a mistake, but maybe lack of enlightenment. One of the things that we were challenged with is we subconsciously thought that everybody was like we were, right? Do you agree with that?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of being driven. and wanting to play the game of life at their full potential. And boy, that was a fundamental mistake, because I remember the first thing we did was we did a online course and did Google ads around it, and didn't sell nearly as many as we wanted. And we were surprised at how we had to price it and all that. And then, so then we sort of get enlightened that the math doesn't work. And so then we do one-on-one coaching, which was actually a business model that would work, except we didn't like coaching. we had to learn, right?
Totally. Yes.
And so I share all this because we had an ongoing vision of what we were trying to do and how we were going to be successful. And now I see in retrospect that if you, whatever your vision for your business is, you really need to take a hard look at that and maybe rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. And if it's not what it needs to be, maybe that's where you need to spend more of your time getting it to a vision that you really fully embrace, rather than just a vision that is taking you forward, but is not moving the needle. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think, the other thing that is, I think that's important, and I've learned this, I don't want to say the hard way, but, related to my recruiting business, let's say, and also to Thinkabia, which is, having that vision, coming up with those clear, those clearly defined kind of milestones, taking the action necessary to hit. And when you begin to take that action, it informs like the next thing, and, your vision, like the vision that I have today for Ingenuity, for example, is very different than the vision that I had when I first started the business, 18 years ago.
So how is it different than what a year ago, a year and a half ago, when you went to Denver and met that guy that enlightened you? Is it radically different?
Radically different, than
just in a year and a half.
Just in a year and a half, radically different than it was prior to really kind of turning the business model on its head and making a lot of the changes, that I'm making and seeing it, not only a bigger vision for it, but a different vision for it than I did before. I think having a clearer vision and definitely a different vision for what my role is in the organization than what it was a year and a half ago. And so I think being open to the idea that through information comes, you continue to iterate and to not be, and I remember this when I first started the business, I don't know whether closed-minded is the right, but I remember specifically, like, we do not want to do contract placement. We only want to do direct hire placement. Well, we started the business in the depth of the recession in 2009, right? Like the banks, right? Like, so it was, you either do contract or you don't exist anymore.
Right.
And so I think that, and again, we didn't know that until we started to get into it and realize, oh, the market is telling us where we need to go right now. And it is not what we're doing. We need to iterate here a little bit and switch gears. And so I think my advice too would be open to, and making sure that you're paying attention to what your journey is kind of telling you, like we did with Thinkabia, where it was like, hey, our vision was very different. And then once we started coaching, we were like, oh, we like teaching this. We don't like the babysitting part of and the frustration that comes with, sometimes the one-on-one coaching, especially business owners. And, so neither of us were feeling fulfilled by it. It was like, okay, well, what's the next pivot? Because, we're very clear on what we want out of this personally. I guess my, what I'm trying to say here is absolutely everything that you shared, and that having a very clear 3-year vision is important, but being open-minded enough to let in new, to be like, oh, there's a whole other aspect of this that I wasn't considering until right now.
Yeah.
And wow, that adds a whole additional revenue stream that isn't in my 3-year vision right now, but can be a game changer for us, you know? So, and being open to that and not being so clear on that vision that you're missing out on the other opportunities and things that might be right in front of you.
So the guy that you met in Denver a year and a half ago, how did that happen? How did you meet him? How did he come into your consciousness?
So we I knew that we weren't as successful as the company could be. And I was frustrated at the results and the production of the team. And so I sought out mentorship, but it was more so training on a different way to recruit, you know?
Right.
And so through that process, one of that guy's students was Monty, who has this thriving, you know, recruiting firm that, you know, he's been in business for over 20 years and he has followed Peter's methodology. And so right. through, you know, us learning that methodology, I was introduced to somebody who was employing that methodology with a ton of success, introduced myself and asked if I could come and, you know, pay him to shadow, you know, him, pick his brain, talk to his employees right. and that kind of thing, which is how it all kind of, you know, transpired. But it was through recognizing that, you know, this isn't what I want it to be and I'm frustrated. And right. so there are people out there who are doing it really, really well and have broken through to the next level of success that I want to hit. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. How are they doing it? Because I've obviously gotten to the point where I know what I know, and it's gotten us to this point of success.
Right.
I need some external. I feel like I'm on an island here. I need some more information and I need to help this team if it's salvageable. I want to give them every opportunity to be successful. And so
right.
that was kind of the chain of events.
Right. And no doubt your thinking sessions were critical to getting all this, right?
Instrumental. And I mean, like every day, like this morning, you know, had a light bulb moment come on during one of the thinking sessions. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is really exciting. And we're leaving so much money on the table by not having, and part of it is me getting back into the day-to-day and having meaningful conversations with these clients. I'm understanding what their needs are. Again, the market will tell you what it needs, you know,
right.
and it's like, so I'm having a lot more clarity around, you know, where the different needs are, which again, this opens up a whole new, you know, revenue stream for us that
right.
didn't exist, you know, until up until this point.
Right. Well, you know, the lesson from Thinking Grow Rich is maybe I've mentioned before, is it comes down to one word, clarity. You got to have clarity to figure out what the right actions to take are, because when your clarity is clouded, you do not see the right actions. So that's the power of you know, influencing the conscious mind by setting aside time to think and assessing, is this working? Is that working? If it's not working, where do I go to fix it? Because obviously the solution is not in your head, because
right.
if it was, you'd already have applied it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. I look at it, again, this idea of assessing how good your plan is. And I see over the years, my assessment of maybe the 3-year plan has varied. It's gone from like as low as a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10 to now it's like a 9 or a 10. And I'll tell you this, you'll find this interesting. I've told you a little about this, but you know, so a couple of years ago, I get my own course teaching the full methodology and the athletic department sponsors it. And they go to the McCutcheon School of Business and throw their weight around and get McCombs to allow me to create this course. So all good, takes a couple of years to do it, which is hard to get a course created because McCombs is one of the, as you know, one of the top business schools in the country. And so it's just hard to, you know, change the status quo. And so, but we get it done and it's exciting and I start teaching it and I have a lot of athletes in my class, like Arch Manning was in my first class, and And, you know, big name football players and basketball players, all fine and good. But then after, you know, after, I don't know, the first two semesters I taught is totally fine. But then I start thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I'm teaching 20 to 22-year-olds how to be successful. And as we learned, you know, this is really only for the 2%, for the people that are really serious about success, who are really serious about playing at their full potential. Well, when you're 20 to 22, hey, you're largely, you're there to have fun. You're in college. You know, and some of them are super into it, but most of them are not. I can't even say where I was on that spectrum, but it started occurring to me that I would teach my class and about half the class was really into it and about half of them were not into it. And I'm like, okay, I don't like that. And then I'm like, well, you know, I'm planting the seed of the other half. Well, that's true, I never got a lot of satisfaction out of that. I want to have impact now. And so about 2 months ago, I'm thinking to myself, I want to teach this to the MBAs, because the MBAs, boy, you talk about the perfect group of people to teach it to. They're stroking a check for $170,000 to get an MBA. They're 28 to 30 years old. They've been out in the real world. Now they're pivoting. You couldn't find a better group. And so I go to the head of the department, who I'm tight with now, and tell her what I want to do. And she makes it happen. I don't know how the heck she made it happen, but she makes it happen. And we changed the name of the course to call it Advanced Leadership of Self, The Science of Leveraging Yourself. And so we get it all approved. And then the day comes that they're all going to sign up. And I'm asking her, I'm like, Carolyn, do you think anybody's going to sign up for this thing? Because I don't know really any people in the MBA side of the world. And it's a new class. And, you know, she says, I don't know, but we'll see. Well, son of a gun, 45 of them sign up like that, which oversubscribed the class. Mm-hmm. And it shows you the power of the name of Advanced Leadership Itself.
Yeah.
And you know, but the purpose of sharing this is that now it was sort of this epiphany, just like the epiphany you had, that now I see that I'm going to make the University of Texas the preeminent authority in the world for advanced leadership of self. And what makes it advanced is its natural way of doing life. It's sort of the how of leadership of self, which nobody else in the country is teaching. In fact, I learned this through doing a research project with AI on this. The rest of the country in academia and leadership misses the fundamental concept that 95% of your daily actions are unconscious. And that's what AI said. They're missing it. You're getting it. And that's why we ought to be the dominant institution in the world teaching this. And I am totally enthused by it, because, you know, we're going to have a yearly national symposium on advanced leadership itself that we'll host. And I see, and I know you'll relate to this, I was thinking about it in my thinking session this weekend. You know, when it was just you and me with this idea that, you know, was powerful, awful hard to break through the clutter. You know, there's so much clutter out there. And everybody that's listening to this in their business, you know, it's almost useless to even do anything on social media, because there's so much clutter that you can't get through. And I started to realize that. But, you know, if you have a world-class organization like the University of Texas, it's a giant opportunity. It's just up to me to seize that opportunity and create it however it needs to get created. The institution won't take it and run with it, but they'll give me the platform to create it. And that's what's totally exciting, because what comes from the platform will get way more traction than what comes from John Mitchell, who nobody knows. But I've started to realize the power of the platform. And so it's pretty cool.
It's awesome. And I love to, when you're talking to about that story, where again, you're continuing to, you're thinking about, because you have so much clarity and about what's important to you and what you want to get out of Thinkapia, the impact that you want Thinkapia to make, all of these opportunities, like the opportunity where it's like, okay, MBA better suits what it is I want, like the level of impact that I want to make.
Right.
You know, and so then taking the action steps to bring that to light, you know, and now you're going to, you will need to iterate that course to accommodate where an MBA is at from a, and so that's going to continue to evolve. And, but I love what is at the core of it is like, you know, in terms of your level of fulfillment and what you want to achieve with this, there you have a lot of clarity around those things, which again is helping kind of inform, you know, what the next kind of step is, you know, with Life GPS, you know, with Tibby, with, you know, the advanced leadership of self.
It, right.
Again, it just continues to evolve, but at the core of it, it's you and what you, what's important to you and the impact that you want it to make and your level of fulfillment. It's like, again, when you're thinking about your quality of life, it's like
right.
Both were miserable coaching one-on-one. You know, and doing it the way we were doing it. I'm like, do you like this? Like, I'm going to say the quiet part out loud right now because I'm not,
right.
I'm not having a good time.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and then we were like, well, you know, we got on the same page. But it, my whole point is, if you're not plugged in and you're not thinking deeply about these things, what happens? Anybody who's listening right now gets this. At how quick, the blink of an eye, 5 years.
Yeah.
Now you are on the proverbial treadmill doing rinse and repeat on autopilot because 95% of our thoughts and actions are doing something that you're unfulfilled by, where you feel like you're sleepwalking through life because you're not thinking about it like you, where you're like, no, you know, we're continuing to iterate. We've got this vision and there are some core, you know, principles and ideas that we have around what it is we want to achieve and why we want to achieve it. So I just want to point that out as people are listening to this, because that is at the heart of this. Your what you want to achieve and your impact and your heart and all of those things are absolutely aligned and still the same. But the vision has evolved with that core foundation.
Right. Well, you know, I was doing my thinking session this just yesterday, and I come up with an uncomfortable truth that I had never really articulated before, but I bet people can appreciate it. So, you know, I trot up to the University of Texas and teach my course, and you know, it's totally fun to get in front of, you know, 40 sets of eyeballs and tell them my life stories and tell them the lessons I've learned and tell them this amazing methodology. But as I started seeing really over the last couple of semesters I taught it, that only half of them were really, really into it. And that's not their fault. It's, you know, they're 20 years old. But I'm like, you know, the problem here is that at some point it turns into a little bit of an ego thing for me, where, yes, it's fun to tell my stories and my life lessons, but I really came to grips with how what's important to me is impact. I don't care about glorifying my ego. I mean, nobody cares about me outside my close friends. I mean, they just don't. Mm-hmm. And that's that, nor should they, you know? So there's no value in pumping up my ego. Nothing comes out of that. But what can come out of it is if you focus on impact. And once I sort of realized that and saw, you know, teaching at the MBAs will stress the methodology. It'll force me to make it better and mm-hmm. better. And I've really started to see over the last few months, there is a higher level of Tibby than we have had to this point. Now, I'm just now starting to fully understand it. It involves AI, mm-hmm. you know, and taking it to the next level, like you and I are delving in that idea of using AI in our thinking sessions. Well, that's what I'm talking about. There's a higher level of taking this methodology and iterating it. And when you're teaching it to people that will stress it and are really serious about it, then, you know, purely for making the methodology as great as it can be, which is important to me. Like every day I read my live GPS template to take Tibby to its full potential, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the overall lesson of all this is in your business, you got to create that clarity and you need to see that 3-year vision and you need to realistically assess how much do you buy into that vision. And if you don't buy into it on a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10, that's okay. Cause we both, you know, been at that point, but maybe more of your time should be spent figuring out that how to get it to a 9 or a 10, then keep on doing the same thing. You think that's maybe the lesson of all this?
Oh yeah, absolutely it is. No, I love it.
Okay. Well, that's all the wisdom we've got. I mean, that's it. That we have nothing more to give. Okay. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute-a-day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.